and Moneymaker Mac, a Christmas song. First thing on my list, go figure, it's a brand new John Cena action figure. Second thing on my list, guess what, it's a really cute girl with a really cute butt. Mike said, Krispy Kreme, hold up. Mom said you're not allowed to touch a girl's butt until you're grown up. That's right, I forgot about that rule. Not allowed to touch butts until you graduate from school. But that's alright. The third on my list is a brand new John Cena watch for my wrist. Now we're moving on to item number four. It's a brand new John Cena poster for my door. Check it out, y'all. Item number five is a brand new John Cena car that I can drive. Well, I can't really drive it because it's too small. But I could if I was maybe like this tall. Christmas, Christmas, come check out my wish list. Have I been a good boy? That's none of your business. I just want some good toys. Can I get a witness? Got all of my homies yelling Christmas, 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 Christmas. Come check out my wish list. Have I been a good boy? That's none of your business. I just want some good toys.
Ah, Christmas. Came a little bit early for some people in New York and New Jersey. $100 bills from a secret Santa rained down on folks, meaning they were thrown into the air. Thousands of dollars that were given out to people in Staten Island who had lost everything. A wealthy Missouri man posing as a secret Santa stunned the New Yorkers as he went up to them, threw bills in the air, and spent the day in Jersey and in the Big Apple giving away thousands, thousands, and thousands of dollars. Excuse me. He wanted to remain anonymous, but he said, if 10% of the people who see me emulate what I'm doing, just imagine how much better off these people will be. Anybody can be a secret Santa. And that's where we start on America Tonight. How you doing? Hopefully good in the flyover states and everywhere in between. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you for this golden hour here, where we like to say we create the buzz in the backyard and you talk about it at the water cooler. Or maybe it's the other way around, but it's all good. Christmas is right around the corner. I can hardly believe it. Do you know the 1st of December is Saturday? 1st of December is Saturday, and before you know it, it's going to be the 25th, and Santa will be climbing down that chimney. I love the fact that this guy did this. Didn't want to have his name released, didn't care, was out there giving out money to the people as dressed as a sort of a Santa. Stopped at a Salvation Army store and, you know, handed over the money, and of course the people were ecstatic over that, absolutely. In the meantime, we have other fish to fry. While Santa is handing out money, the Republicans rejected Obama's offer of $1.6 trillion in a tax hike. I know you're shocked. Yeah, it's not happening. It's like the standoff at the OK Corral. Somebody's got to get shot, but you just don't know who it's going to be. Neither side is giving in, so it's the status quo, and that's the way we go into the holiday season. I know. Compromise? Why compromise? You know, here's the problem. The problem is that everybody just let it happen. When I mean everybody, the gatekeepers on the Hill watched this going on. The people who occupied 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue allowed this to go on too as well. And so we were like drunk kids who got their first credit card and decided to buy rounds for everybody. How do you think you can operate when you don't have enough revenue coming in? But we know that. It's not the time really for the blame game. It's the time to figure this out economically. And people are just not, they're not hanging with the spending, spending, spending. With the slashing, 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 that seems much more likely. But then you can argue about, well, you have to have some spending and some slashing. Baloney. We have economists that could unravel this mystery in a day or two. Or we're all going to have to belly up and pony up some extra trinkets, even though we don't want to do it, meaning some dough, because of the people who we elected who put us in this position in the first place. Oh, lift the debt ceiling, until our heads have crashed through the debt ceiling. At the top here, I can't go away without telling you about what happened at the UN. In the UN, they decided to give the Palestinians what they wanted, some recognition. The UN approved the Palestinian folks' homeland as an observer state. The vote was 138-9. 138-9. How about that? So what, you know, ultimately, what does that mean? That means they get recognition. What does that also mean for Israel? They're not happy in Israel. The U.S., of course, also did not vote for this, but the Palestinian people couldn't be more happy because this is the first step, I think they believe, into moving on to other global recognition. Here's what Abbas had to say about the UN decision. I think this time the Palestinian president.
No, I got it. You want it? It's my fault, guys.
All right.
Once again, our warning. The window of opportunity is narrowing, and time is quickly running out. The moment has arrived for the world to say clearly, enough of aggression, settlements, and occupation. We came to affirm the legitimacy of a state that must now achieve its independence, and that is Palestine.
Palestine wins its independence. You heard it. That was the president, Abbas, talking about the excitement winning the independence, calling on the world body to issue what they're calling the long overdue birth certificate. So 138 votes said okay, and they overwhelmingly approved the de facto recognition of a sovereign state. And it makes a difference. They get state status at the UN. Good luck to Israel, who is obviously now isolated more than ever in the Middle East. They can't be happy that they were plunged into this. I don't think so. Speaking of being plunged into awkward situations, Mitt Romney had to accept the president's lunch invitation, didn't he? I wonder what Mitt Romney was really thinking as he was eating lunch with Barack Obama. That's right. There was a lamb somewhere in that room. Where is that lamb? Sacrificial. Symbolic, I would think. So, we're going to talk about it next. What happened in the West Wing dining room?
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Gold, It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Toll free, 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Talking about what happened at that factory and that horrible weekend fire, and now they're saying that even more than 100 people were closed in India mourning the deaths of these factory workers that were killed, and these working conditions, crazy. And then, of course, talking about the ties to America and some of the stuff where it was headed for the shelves of Walmart in many cases. Stephanie Luce is in the wings. She joins us here on ATN. She's an associate professor of labor studies at the Murphy Institute at the City University of New York. Stephanie, thanks for popping on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So here's the thing. You saw the horrific pictures. I saw them. All the people listening to America Tonight. I mean, it was running all day long on the cable networks and whatnot. People were just horrified by that. But I think, sadly, the one thing about this tragedy is that it gives us a chance to actually discuss the impact of U.S. companies shipping jobs overseas. First of all, how prevalent is this?
Well, the fire itself is actually tragically fairly common. There's been several hundred workers killed in these kinds of fires just in the last few years in Bangladesh, and over the last couple of decades, there's been a number of big fires. This is the worst so far, but it's common. A lot of the conditions in these factories are extremely dangerous, and even when they've been rated high risk, the work continues, and things haven't, you know, really improved much. And in Bangladesh, it's been going on now for about 20 years with very little improvement.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, that we do a segment called Made in America, and I always challenge people to go around their house for 10 minutes and lift things up and see where they're made, and they're always stunned for some reason. They don't realize how many things are made overseas. Mm-hmm. And it's the low wages, that's the attraction to this. Is it, you know, the corporations say if the corporate tax was lower, because we have the highest corporate tax in the world, they would come back. Do you think this is truly a way to pull back some of the manufacturing that's being done in places like Bangladesh, or no?
I don't think it's just the taxes. I think that what the model does is it sets a whole host of reasons why corporations are attracted to go overseas. So in a country like Bangladesh, what they do is they create what are called free trade zones that actually really get rid of a whole host of laws, environmental regulations, safety and health regulations, wage regulations, unions, and so forth. So it's about more than taxes. It's about companies feeling like they have kind of free rein to produce how they want to produce with very little oversight. I think that, you know, we really are stuck in this situation where, you know, we have a global model that's pushing wages down, that's pushing standards down, and we're kind of forced between, you know, do we want a bad job or no job? And actually, interestingly enough, it's the same choice in Bangladesh that it is here in the United States, because we feel like, well, if we ask for higher wages, the company will just take their jobs overseas. And in Bangladesh, they say if we ask for better conditions, they'll just move their production to Sri Lanka or Pakistan or China.
And there's a word for this, isn't there? There's a word for the power over workers in our retail market in the U.S. What is that? And explain that to us.
Well, there's what you can say about companies like Walmart and whether it's Target or, you know, they've had a lot of mergers in the retail industry and other industries, and they really, you know, developed this monopoly power where they have enough power to control the market. They can go to Bangladesh and say, these are our terms. If you want our contract, you'll do it, or otherwise we'll take the jobs and we'll go somewhere else. So it's not even really a free market in the sense where you have a fair negotiation between one company and another. Just like, you know, it's not, it's just even between the Walmart employer and the Walmart worker here, it's not the kind of free market economics that I was taught in my economics 101 class, which is, you know, equal partners. Walmart is doing what we call a global supply chain, which is that they take parts of their work and they outsource it around the world, and they subcontract, and that kind of gets them a little bit of legal distance too. So when something like this fire happens, they can say, well, we didn't really know what was happening. It wasn't really under our control.
Wow. And do you think that this situation is going to continue because of a lot of the reasons you just said? Or how can we see this? You know, you're a labor expert. How can we see this change?
Yeah. Unfortunately, our trend is still in a downward position because we continue to pass free trade agreements. There's a very large trade agreement called the Trans-Pacific Partnership that is on the table. It's one of Obama's priorities. And that's going to just expand this kind of, you know, incentive for companies to move overseas. I think that the best that we can do here in the United States is just to try and be a lot more conscious about these trade policies and about what they are really doing to workers overseas, and as well as, you know, what they do to workers here. I think, you know, we've had a tendency to think of like, well, the workers in China are stealing our jobs, or the workers in Mexico are stealing our jobs. But really, I think they're being hurt by it too. And I think we need to get more focused on making a more equal balance of power between workers and the corporation.
No, boy, I agree with that. How about boycotts? When you see something horrific like this, do boycotts work? Or I have a theory that they don't always work because people say, yeah, let's boycott Walmart for a day because we're upset what happened and their clothing was being made over there in that factory, and people get all juiced up about it, and you'll see things on the internet and it'll tweet about it.
Yeah.
But then when it comes down to it, people don't boycott. So wouldn't that work?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't actually think boycotts are usually that effective either, and in part because, you know, they can also cost people their jobs. So if we all say, let's stop shopping at Walmart, you know, people here in the Walmart stores could lose their jobs. People in Bangladesh making those clothes could lose their jobs. So I feel like we want to take actions that don't put workers at risk. Or if workers themselves are calling for the boycott, you know, maybe you could support it. But in general, the consumer boycotts are only successful in limited cases. I think that it's going to take more than just consumer power. It's going to take consumer power with workers, with, you know, changing laws and changing regulations about what corporations have, you know, in terms of the power that they have.
Yeah. What's the difference, so people have an idea, give or take, in the wages for a Bangladesh worker versus the U.S.?
So the minimum wage in Bangladesh right now is about $36 a month.
Oh.
And And people are going to say, well, it's cheaper cost of living there, which is true. But even given that, it's what the United Nations has considered an absolute poverty line, which, you know, the globally it's considered you need at least one U.S. dollar a day to even survive, and you really need two U.S. dollars a day to really meet the poverty line. So many of these workers are living below what is considered internationally the real poverty line. So it's a pretty grim situation. People are living in shacks. They're living in huge, you know, piling up in dorms and so forth, just to try and survive.
Yeah, so maybe the push should also be to help the people get a little more money.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is when we worry about U.S. jobs moving overseas, really one of the best solutions for that would be is if conditions, living conditions in other countries were raised up. You know, we don't want to compete by raising, you know, lowering our wages down and down. We want to help other countries develop. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things Walmart could do that were really easy, like just installing fire extinguishers in any factory where it has any business. That's a really cheap fix. Just things like not letting doors be locked. You know, these are not cost. There's no cost to that. So, you know, I think in that sense, we can demand that Walmart just meet the absolute basic minimums in their factories.
Yeah. And mostly we're talking about what kind of stuff are we talking about being made? I think it's everything, right? From candles to clothing to you name it.
Yeah. The main export in Bangladesh is garments. That's their main industry. And it's mostly really young women. I met some women as young as 14 or 16. And a lot of that is just they are assembling clothes. They're you know, getting the pieces and sewing them together. They call it the ready-made garment industry. So that's their main export. And the country really relies on that money as the main source of the country's income.
Oh, so you were there and actually talked to some of the workers.
Yes. I've been there and have met with garment workers in different parts of the world. And what's interesting is you'll find a very similar story, whether it's in Bangladesh or China, which is people feel that they have to choose between a bad job and no job. And again, I think that's where we're going with a lot of Americans, too. We're feeling like the same kind of choice. And I feel like it shouldn't have to be that choice. There should be other choices, too, which is more healthy as sustainable jobs.
Yeah, and were most when you did the China thing too, was it mostly 14 to 16 year olds or older workers as well mixed in?
Older workers as well. In China, there's a lot of 16 and 17 year olds who are working as student interns in a lot of the factories, but there's some older workers as well. And there's just so many workers here.
Yeah, terrible situation. All right, Stephanie Luce, thanks so much for coming on and shedding some light on this awful situation. We appreciate it.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla.
I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Tonight, and boy, are you talking more than tweeting. If you have anything you want to tell us here on American Tight, remember, just let it fly. Go ahead and vent. Send it to us at americatonight.net. americatonight.net. Click on contact, and bada bing, you are in, just like that. We got this one from Vince in Vermont. Vince says, Kate, did you check out what happened earlier in the day with that soldier who got taken down thanks to Julian Assange and WikiLeaks? What do you think? His first comment since he was arrested in Iraq. Okay, let me re-rack that WB. The re-rack is this, Vince, that Bradley Manning is who you're talking about. And I always thought that Manning was such a patsy in this because he gave Julian Assange all those documents. He is a U.S., or was a U.S. Army private. I guess he still is, but he was court-martialed, or is going to be court-martialed, on suspicion of leaking those secret docs to the WikiLeaks website. He says he was confined to a cage. This was one of his public comments because he testified. He said he was confined to a cage after he was arrested in 2010, and he said he thought he was going to die there. It led to a breakdown. He felt isolated, and he was on suicide watch and all that kind of stuff. That's how he described it. And this is what's so sad about Manning is he is just a low-ranking military personnel, right? A low-ranking soldier. And now he'll probably get life in prison if he's convicted of those charges that he was a huge part of the massive leaking of the secrets by that website, WikiLeaks, which stunned governments all over the place by publishing intelligence documents and diplomatic cables, most of them state secrets. So I'll call it secrets because there were people listed who were aiding our guys in Iraq and in Afghanistan. Even there was stuff listed there. So they're trying to do a plea deal, and if he gets the plea deal, he would get a prison term of like maybe 16 years. He says when he was detained in Kuwait, he didn't really know why he was being detained. Thus the cage, which was, 8 feet square inside a tent. And that's when he says he had the breakdown and all that stuff. And this is what he testified to at his court-martial hearing. He will go down. I can't imagine he won't go down because they can trace everything, that all the documents through Manning. But he's the patsy in this because Julian Assange gets what he wants. WikiLeaks explodes. The secrets of, the State Department are out there for everybody to see. And he's done. He's done. So, they're talking about what's happened in the past with Assange. And yet there are still not any criminal charges against him. They're not necessarily ruling it out, but there's no criminal charges. So who's the bad guy here? Is Assange a bad guy, or is he a smart guy because he reveals some of what people don't realize is happening? Or is he the guy who uses the low-level private to get what he wants and then, so sad? He has spoken about him and saying it's unfair that this is going on, but that's convenient at this point because Assange could no longer get Manning out of trouble than I could possibly think of a great analogy to give you. Exactly. I'm short on analogies, but it's true. You can't even think of one because there's no way. There's no way that happens here. And WikiLeaks never confirmed Manning, by the way, was the source of the documents it released, but it was obvious because they had him, dead to rights by looking at his computer. And some people think that he is a traitor with a capital T, and he deserves to be given the death penalty. But I don't think the death penalty. He did betray the country. He did. I'm sorry. He embarrassed the government. And that's the bottom line. So you embarrass the government that way with a document dump, then, they're going to nail you. So I think put it away. Throw away the key. He's done. There's no question about it. I just move on to this one from Kenny out of the D.C. area because he says, hey, I know you come to Washington sometimes. I got a great restaurant for you. Next time that you come here, announce it on the air, and I will tell you about the restaurant. Until then, I have to ask you the question about who's going to jump in to fill Clinton's shoes. Do you think it really will be Kerry? Or does somebody else end up getting that job? Because that's obviously pretty important. Well, the guy they want, I think the White House wants, is John Kerry. And John Kerry, frankly, wants to do it. There's no question Susan Rice is toast, done, out of here, DOA. She's not going to get it. There was this speculation that it would be her. She wanted it. And he would go up against her, but, you have Kerry, you have Susan Rice. Who do you think is going to get confirmed? It's going to be Kerry. And Rice has a really close relationship with President Obama, but there's no doubt she is completely on the outs with the people that she needs to be in with when they ultimately decide, when they have a confirmation hearing on who should be in. She's not going to be the next Secretary of State. No way. If I were a betting person, I would take that bet any day of the week that Kerry will be the guy. I mean, look, he did a couple tours in Vietnam. He won a Silver Star, Purple Hearts, all that kind of stuff. I mean, he was a critic of the war, but he still is somebody who can reach across the aisle. There are lots of Republicans who do like Kerry. He's been around for a long time. No-brainer, it's him. All right, this one from Bruce, who says, "Hello, America, tonight, digging the show." Sweet! But Bruce goes on to say, "Not digging $1.6 trillion in tax increases. What is this president, nuts? Shoot us all now. How can we afford to pay $1.6 trillion in new tax revenue? Doesn't make any sense. Why go in this direction? There are smarter people who can manipulate these numbers and figure it out and get them down a lot smaller than that." Well, you know, this is the problem. Scare people, give them a few little morsels, throw it out there, convince them that, you know, if we don't do this, if we don't lift the debt ceiling, if we don't figure out a way to pump more money in there, then we don't get more revenue, then we're all stuck. We're all ultimately going to be on the hook because it's going to swing us into a recession. I say let's get some fresh ideas in there on the math side of things. Come on. Can they add? No, exactly. They're not going to get the deal. So here's the deal. If they don't come up with something, and they've been wrangling with this for over a year and a half, then you're going to have the automatic across-the-board spending cuts. That's a sequester from striking, it would hit the economy in January. You look at the long-term joblessness, you look at the cuts to Medicare payments and docs and underwater mortgages. It's nothing but bleak. Let me tell you, it's nothing but bleak. This one from Pedro, who is listening to us in the great state of Texas. "Ms. Delaney, are you aware that George H.W. Bush has been hospitalized? Do you know why he was hospitalized?" Well, because apparently he had a cough he could not shake. So he's been in and out of hospitals lately because of bronchitis. He's got a bad bout of bronchitis. And that led them to taking him to the hospital because for fear that maybe there was more to it. He's in stable condition. They think he's going to be released by the weekend. He's been in hospital care for a week, and they said it was never life-threatening, but they wanted to prevent the bronchitis from getting any worse because, you know, the possibility of pneumonia at that age is so scary and so dangerous, and I think that's the reason, certainly one of the reasons why they put him in the hospital for that long of a time. As it flared up over the holiday weekend, they didn't want to take a chance that it could get much worse. And of course, as a former president, they want to keep every treasure alive that you possibly can, and they're not going to let him catch pneumonia. So lots of people visiting him, by the way, including his son W and his wife, the former First Lady Laura Bush. They went to see him over the weekend, taking that plane from Dallas to Houston, because Houston is where Bush 1 is right now. Remember, you can always hit us up at americatonight.net.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
For all women and men who wish their fingernails were harder, this Christmas, wishes come true. Introducing Nails of Steel, a new revolutionary nail hardener. Nails of Steel puts muscle into your soft nails with a creamy, rich, natural herbal formula that is antifungal, hypoallergenic, and biodegradable. Just massage a drop of Nails of Steel over your natural or polished nails and go. With Nails of Steel, there's virtually no drying time. Within the first week, you'll notice your nails getting stronger to eliminate breaking, chipping, splitting, hanging nails, and fungus. Nails of Steel makes a great stocking stuffer for women or men. And right now, get 3 1-ounce bottles for only $74.95. That's about a $5 price break on each bottle that'll last you for months. Visit nailsofsteel.com. That's nailsofsteel.com. Nails of Steel. It's like a salon in a bottle.
In more ways than one, it's going to be a November to remember. Through tomorrow only, and just in time for the holidays, Emergency Essentials offers a huge Mountain House sale only at BePrepared.com. All Mountain House cans are 20 to 32% off. For example, a can of Mountain House Chili Mac, regularly $25.49, is now only $17.24. Scrambled eggs with bacon, usually $31.89, now only $21.56. And save 26% on a 3-day emergency kit. Or save $123 on a 1-month supply of freeze-dried and dehydrated foods. Gift shoppers, check out the Katadyn Vario water filter at 26% off, or get special pricing on the Gerber suspension multi-tool and the Volcano stove collapsible cooking combo. For details, call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and Emergency Essentials low price guarantee. But hurry, the November to Remember sale ends tomorrow. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or beprepared.com.
Journey ends, but we go on. The world turns and we turn with it. Plans disappear. Dreams take over. But wherever I go, there you are. My luck, my fate, my fortune. Chanel number 5. Inevitable.
Is Brad Pitt serious with that commercial? People are busting him everywhere for it. And he did a recent interview where he tried to explain away the whole Chanel thing.
Fair play. It's all fair. But we did. I had to do press all day yesterday. And I was getting crushed.
He is getting crushed. It is weak, Brad Pitt. You have so much money. You have a hot wife or girlfriend or whatever and the 10,000 kids. What are you doing cheesy Chanel number 5 commercials?
Inevitable.
Certainly don't need the money. So I cannot believe this, but here's how it works. We're going to throw Brad Pitt in the dungeon momentarily. Once we do, we'll invite him on the show so he can get out of prison. We'll send him a key, and who knows, maybe he'll accept. So without further ado, Let's put Brad Pitt in the America Tonight prison, Charles, in charge.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
Inevitable.
Inevitable. Oh, he's not going to live that one down. So he wasn't invited to the White House this time around. He has been in the past. He's an Obama supporter. But the Republican candidate for president was Mitt Romney, and he was there at the West Wing dining room, dining on turkey, apparently, and turkey chili and lamb. Sacrificial lamb. So he went in the side entryway, and only the two of them were there for lunch. News photographers weren't allowed in for pictures. The lunch lasted more than an hour, and I guess it's a goodwill gesture on Obama's part for healing the wounds from the bitter campaign. Remember, Obama accused Romney of being an out-of-touch, secretive, rich elitist. And Romney said his opponent did not understand how to fix the economy. So this played out on the tube, on radio. The ridiculous amount of money that was spent on the election, that could have gone to help a few people. How many millions of dollars? Well, Obama, in the middle of his second term, I think you got to give him credit. He did make time for Romney and had him up and had a conversation. So good for him to do that. You know, it's tough to fault him. There's many jokes I think we could pop up in here with. But Romney, I think, was just shell-shocked that his campaign fell so short. I think Karl Rove convinced him that he had this in the bag. So a week ago, he was photographed visiting Disneyland in Florida with his grandchildren, and there he is at the White House, the place that he had hoped to occupy. But this time he's just there as a visitor. But this is it for him. His wife said they're not going to do it again. This was his big run. And it's interesting. I thought, wouldn't it be wild if there was a curveball and he was offered some kind of job, but there was no job offer? I think clearly they were just having a conversation, and that was it. But it was nothing more. So, Mr. President, how is the view from your office in the West Wing? Yeah. What's your favorite team? They both like sports. They both work out. How much can you bench press? I loved your wife's red dress. Oh, I loved your wife's blue dress. Is it really true that when you live in the White House, you can order food any time of day and they actually get it for you, no matter how exotic it is? I'll have the portobello mushroom sandwich. Yes, it is indeed true.
Oh, boy. That escalated quickly.
Can I borrow a few books from the library here at the White House and come back again and visit you, Mr. President? Why, certainly. Just don't take any of the china. I don't know. Could have been an interesting conversation. We'll never know. I don't think it'll really ever be revealed. Just what they ate, but that's it. No media, no leaks, no nothing. It's tough to lose. It is. Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. And so when you lose on a grand scale, when you've pumped a lot of money into it, remember, he's wanted to be President Romney for a while now, because you can go back to the last couple of elections, and here he was, the guy, the former Massachusetts governor, who gets the nomination, and then he was convinced that he had this in the bag, and he lost it. He lost it. So I think it was good to at least get him circulating. And he was circulating with not just the grandkids, but circulating at the adult table, we'll say. How's that? They were probably discussing oh, I don't know, the fiscal cliff, how do they avoid it, all that kind of stuff. Maybe that was something that they talked about, or it might have just been overall the view of the campaign and what are you doing this weekend and that kind of thing, then some casual conversation. I would think it would be a little bit awkward in the beginning. I would think it would be. Because, you know, politicians are politicians, and they know that things are said in the heat of the battle that aren't necessarily what they mean or what they know much about. And probably, in this case, that's what it was. There was probably some maneuvering on both sides. So what a day. Heading into the weekend, the UN approving the Palestinian observer state bid, the Republicans rejecting the president's offer of $1.6 trillion in a tax hike across the board, and both sides digging in. Well, those lame ducks, we just haven't been feeding them the right thing. They're hanging around the studio, and we can't seem to get a handle on them. It's like barnyard animals here in the studios of America tonight. So as I said, very, 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 can I emphasize that enough? Very, very, very big day. But those certainly aren't the only things that happened. We're talking about the extreme of the Palestinians getting what they wanted, some recognition to the situation with the fiscal dance. We don't want to call it the cliff anymore. And if one person goes over, we're all going. But would you pony up $1.6 trillion in tax hikes? Or no, that's just simply too high. 855-266-KATE. 855-266-5283. Keep that number handy, as some of you are still getting used to it. And you can call us on another occasion, because you'll have that telephone number.
Yeah, baby!
Yeah, in your book. You got it. My number into your hands. So that's pretty sweet, huh? And the UN is waiting to see how all this plays out. But certainly this is huge for the Palestinians. There's no question about it. It's huge for the UN to recognize them the way they did. And the upgraded status is, what does it mean? And, you know, ultimately what's at risk is the question you have to ask yourself. And what it means is that they have the first piece of the puzzle of recognition. And it's confusing a year after failing to win recognition as an independent state. They achieve what they wanted that's maybe symbolic, though could be helpful in ultimately getting full status, to be sure. Hey, catch up with us on Facebook and Twitter. Just go to americatonight.net and click on either one of those, and you'll be in our little club.
Millions of people are going to get sick this winter from colds, flu, and other illnesses. Don't be one of them. Protect yourself with Supernatural Silver, a revolutionary new broad-spectrum antibacterial solution. Recent advances in silver technology have resulted in a silver solution that can be used daily to prevent bacteria, viruses, mold, and food poisoning, and help improve wound healing. Supernatural Silver is safe enough to consume every day, while powerful enough to destroy the causes of many serious diseases, such as strep, staph, pneumonia, cold, flus, and other harmful pathogens. This new technology has the ability to terminate entire colonies of harmful bacteria at several hundred times the effectiveness of colloidal or ionic silver solutions. The Science Digest Journal says silver is our mightiest germ fighter. It is virtually non-toxic and is emerging as a wonder of modern medicine. Go to supernaturalsilver.com today and use the promo code SILVER2012 for 20% off. That's supernaturalsilver.com. And like us on Facebook.